The Magic Podcast. Hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry. Where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Contrary to popular belief, the reports and rumours that the Magic Podcast is dead is absolutely not true. It's just been on life support, but we're back. I'm Craig Petty.
I'm Lloyd Barnes.
And welcome to the Magic Podcast, back from the dead.
How you doing? Let's get this shit out of the way. I'm good, but I've been on a summer vacation, so I've been abroad and chilling, doing house stuff. I apologize to our minimal but loyal fan base of one.
You know what? We've been very busy. We did say that we can't do this every single week. I've been busy. Lloyd's been busy. There's been a couple of weeks when Lloyd could do it and I couldn't. And there's been a couple of weeks where Lloyd can do I can do it and Lloyd can't. And our schedule hasn't meshed. But we're back. We're going to continue the podcast. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. It's just that we can't always do it every week because of how busy we both are. But it means that we have got a fuck ton to talk about, Lloyd, because shit me. The last time we had a podcast, fucking Copperfield was still going to vanish the moon, I think. Like, that's how far back we've gone, you know. I think we've gone pretty far back. But
God, was it that long ago?
It really was. We've got a lot to talk about. Stuff that's happened in the magic community. Annoyingly, right now, I can't think of any of it, but there is a lot of shit that's happened. You've been out the community. You've not been keeping track of what's going on or what's happened. You've not been keeping track of anything, have you?
Literally, I have no idea what's been going on whatsoever. I've been magician, but just doing my own thing, you know? So just creating magic and jamming and stuff, but I have no idea what's going on.
And you've been busy at Murphy's, right?
Yeah, catching up, getting a lot of work with your projects.
Well, you know what? The last time we did a podcast, it was before the Infinity Deck. So thank you to everyone that picked up the Infinity Deck. I mean, that's been ridiculously popular, hasn't it?
Like, oh man, it's been insane. Also thank you to everyone that's picked it up because we were expecting the I thought there was going to be some sort of like photo deck fatigue after, you know, you like especially like Cube 52 that you did and Evoke and other projects, and to see it like just skyrocket was crazy. And makes me really proud. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. And the more to come from me and Lloyd. I will tell you, the Gaff deck has been finished. We've been telling people about the Gaff deck on this channel for a couple of years. We have actually finished it. We haven't finished it in terms of filming it, but we're now happy with the content of the Gaff deck and the box and everything, aren't we?
I actually need to get an update because they might have even been printed.
Oh, exciting stuff.
I'll double check.
I can't wait to film that tutorial.
I can. It's going to be so long. Fuck me.
I was speaking to Nemid the other day. He's like, am I filming that one? I was like, probably, because Lloyd's not going to leave the country.
Oh, God. No, I think I'm going to have to film that one because it's an important one. Not that every other one isn't important, but like Gaff's are my baby. Like
that's, you love Gaff cards more than anything else. I know you do. And there are some amazing Gaffs. I don't want this to tease future products, though, but I know a lot of people have been asking about it. It is coming. We've been talking about this for the best part of 3 years. That's how long it takes to create a good Gaff deck, apparently. But
fucking better be good after that time.
Here's some stuff to talk about. Vanishing Ink burnt down. San Diego Magic Company burnt down. Two warehouses in California burnt down in the last kind of month or two. How crazy is that? Like,
what the fuck? Is there like a masked crusader trying to fucking defeat brick and mortar magic stores, beat them into submission.
Well, all I know is during that period of time, nobody saw Peter Nardi.
Man, I feel so bad. Like, obviously, like the Vanishing Ink guys are fine. You know, they're a super successful company and they've got building insurance and people rallied around.
And I think Murphy's put them up, haven't they? Murphy's have like lent them their warehouse space for a bit, I think.
I think so. I think I heard that in the grapevine, but I can't confirm it or not because I don't know. But I did see a post on their socials. I think they said they allocated them space. But I want to, like, if anyone knows the San Diego Magic Shop, the guys,
I love those guys. I love them so much.
They're literally intelligent. They're so kind. They're brilliant people. And they're a fraction of the size of Vanishing Ink, but they should be, you know, up in the big leagues. They are one of the main brick and mortar magic stores that I think really deserve their place in the industry. And, you know, they're not as big as Vanishing. So, you know, if you guys are considering, if anybody listening stateside wants to do something to help, have a look at San Diego Magic Shop and or Magic Shop San Diego, they go by, and think about ordering from them for your next few purchases to sort of support them, help them out. Buy downloads from them if you can. Anything digital, they don't have to ship because they are the real deal. And it's going to be, I think, you know, naturally, it's just going to be harder for them to recover compared to a company the size and the scale of Vanish. And not saying that you shouldn't support Vanishing Ink either. But yeah, just keep them, but you know, keep that in mind that they are, you know, a much smaller company, and it really is a family business. It's James Kellogg Senior and Junior, father and son, that run the company. They're just gold people, you know.
It really does.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks.
It really does.
What's going on over there?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. It's crazy. I hope they can get back on their feet because, you know, they're amazing. Other stuff that's gone on. Alex Dam have been making big progress over in the US, actually. I don't know if you know this, but they've now officially opened a US distribution center run by the latest Alakazam employee, full-time, Chris James.
I heard, yeah, this is insane. Like, this is, what an amazing idea.
Yeah, they've hired Chris James full-time to manage their US operations. I can't think of a better guy to do that.
No, I can't. He's so hardworking. He's so, so passionate, enthusiastic about magic. He does things the right way. So I think it'll, you know, no doubt it'll be growing even bigger and bigger anytime soon.
Yeah. And good old Pete Nardi and his polished little love spuds taking over the world, him and Harry taking over the world one country at a time, right?
Where's the next country they're going to invade?
I don't know. Invade. Oh, my God. Okay.
Stay out of Wales. It's my country. This is dragon country.
Is there even a magic shop in Wales, Lloyd? Is there even a magic shop? I don't even know of one.
There's not. There is. I won't name the shop. There, you know, like you see those, like those shops that sell bongs and things, weed memorabilia. There's one, and I seen in the front and like half of the window display had like some Cheap Tricks. And I was like, oh, I'll go in. This is going back a couple of years now, maybe 2 or 3 years. And they went in there, and it was a total. You know, it was like a you know, weed shop and everything, but not like Californians think, you know, weed smoke, you know, but the people that like sip like Newcastle Brown and watch Jerry Kyle all day sort of run it. And anyway, the guy that in there, I went in there and I was like, hey man, do you sell magic tricks? And he just started busting out tricks, and he was doing things like twisting the aces and stuff. But as he was doing it, he was telling me that he had created all those effects. They were his ideas. Wow. I just kept stum. I didn't say nothing, but he was just performing like, just, you know, just general classic tricks like Osmosis. Is it Cosmosis by Ben Harris, the floating matchstick? And he was like, this is another trick that I created myself. You know, I've been working on it for like 5 years, and he was doing this and that. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, I think he did like NFW, you know, the classic NFW that Penguin used to sell tons of. And he was that's another one of my ideas, And I was like, oh, all right, cool. I didn't say anything. Just nice work, man. Bye.
Talk about doing that to the wrong fucking person. I wouldn't have been able to help myself. I would have been, actually, I work for the world's largest magic wholesaler. and you're full of shit, mate. So
I was waiting for him to perform one of my tricks because then I was like, oh man, I can't let you get away with that one. But yeah. Well, so I really have had my finger off the pulse of the magic industry. Has there been any dramas brewing online? Any pitchforks
out? I don't want to spend too much time talking about this because I don't want to piss him off because he is a friend of mine. but I a lot of people are... there's a lot going on with Justin Miller at the moment.
Okay.
I'm sure you're aware that he isn't particularly happy with you. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, someone had mentioned that he wasn't happy with... he's changed his stance on my... teaching my ideas on YouTube. I don't know why, but he used to love it.
He posted a picture of you and said, this is what's wrong with magic. He's become, you know, Justin's always been opinionated and hey, he's entitled to his opinion. I'm not going to say he shouldn't have his opinion. He's back on Facebook and he's posting an awful lot on Facebook about things that piss him off about magic. He's going after certain individuals that he perceives are an issue within the magic community. Generally, okay. People that are exposing magic. He's gone after.
I'm with him on the exposure side of stuff.
Yeah,
I think
he's
well, dependent. I don't know what he's saying, but dependent. I mean, the last time me and him spoke, he was sending me lush messages thanking me for stuff. We did the podcast, and he was saying how good my channel is. So I don't know why he's had a change of heart, but who knows?
I don't know. He's
I've always disagreed with exposure.
He got into an argument with Tom Crosby about something or other. Tom and him are arguing about something. I'm not 100% sure what, because I'm trying to keep out of it. These days, I try to keep my... I'm trying to avoid controversy. I know it's going to happen. It always does. I can't fucking help it. But I'm trying to avoid it as much as possible. So I've chosen not to comment on a lot of this stuff. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, this is what it is. I'm trying not to get involved, but I've seen that there's a lot of shit going on in various different Facebook groups. He posted a video the other day. I don't know what's gone on between him and Tom. I'm not 100% sure, but he posted a video on his Facebook page the other day, and it was just basically it was basically just a video of him Googling Tom's name online and seeing how many hits there were, and then Googling his name with Magician after it and seeing how many hits there were. And it was like, okay, right, fair enough. But, I cannot stress enough, I love JM. I think he's amazing. I really do.
And me too.
I think he's one of the most creative magicians on the planet, genuinely. Somebody asked me in the Q&A the other day, if you had a Mount Rushmore of coin magicians, who would you put on there? And I said I'd have Justin on there. I really would. Nah. He's done more, not just for coin magic, but for magic in general. You know, he's created so much magic. And I just think he's on a mission at the moment to, I don't know what he's on a mission to do, but, you know, it's his choice. I'm not going to get into an argument with him because I actually really like Justin. And people have asked me to talk about it on my channel, and I've chosen not to talk about it on my channel because I don't want to say if I agree or disagree. Hey, I've been that guy that's been ranting and raving on the internet about shit that pisses me off. I've done it. I've been where Justin is right now. And in all likelihood, there's going to be something that's going to set me off in the next 6 months, and I'll probably do it again, even though I won't. Something, probably something to do with Luke Dancy or Rick Lax, or potentially new guy, whatever his fucking name is. What's his name? I don't know.
You know, but I have no issue with Justin. And I treat people with respect. If I have an issue with someone, I speak directly to them like a man. The last time me and him spoke, it was nothing but good vibes. He treated me lush. We have good correspondence back and forth. We did the podcast together. We were going to try and hire him to come over and do a British lecture. As far as I'm concerned, if he hasn't come to me with any issues and talked to me directly, then I don't know what the fuck's going on. But yeah. I still think he's wicked. I hope if he actually has a genuine issue and it's not, it could just be that he's like trying to cause some controversy to get some hits, you know, some likes and stuff. But I would hope that he's, you know, if he believes in what he's saying and he actually has an issue with me, then and he's changed his mind on me teaching my own creations, then he would just reach out.
Justin's a good friend of mine, and I value that friendship. And he can go off the rails sometimes, but then again, we all
Who
can.
doesn't?
We all can. But whatever he does or whatever he says, I believe he believes in everything that he says, and it doesn't take away from everything he's achieved in this industry. But a lot of people are talking about that stuff on Facebook at the moment. So you ask what's been going
Which
on.
groups? Which groups?
Magicians Only is a big one. I bet if I went on Magicians Only, they would be ranting about him right now. Holy crap.
I know he's blocked me, so I can't see anything. So I don't know if he's talking like smack about me or anyone
Oh,
else,
he's
but
blocked you. Oh, I didn't know that.
yeah. But the last time we spoke, we did the podcast. It was banging. So I don't know.
That's strange. That's strange. That's
Different.
weird.
I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but like, at least like from here, like if you've got an issue with someone, you just bring it up to them directly. But
Yeah,
maybe he hasn't. Because he was only saying good things about my channel. There's videos of him online saying that he like with him and like Ramsey and Xavier Spade, they sit down. And they have a chat and they say, like, you know, you can't stop people. Exposure's bad, but you can't stop people teaching their magic on YouTube. And at least people are learning it from the source. And he seemed on board with it. So I don't know why it's, or if, you know, his opinion has changed since then, but you can reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the other thing that somebody is talking about, and this is getting a lot of people chatting in the last 24 hours, there's been 150 comments. And I'd love your opinion on this, actually. It's quite long, but I'll try and shorten it down. This guy called William Von Tobel has posted in Magicians Only saying, "Yesterday, I received a lot of criticism for my post." I didn't see his post yesterday, stating magic should only exist for those who can afford it. Of course, it came from the YouTube group who get easily triggered by any statements. But beyond that, some of you made good points and some of you proved that the current model of selling magic is unsustainable. I borrowed a quote from an indie gamer who said his games wouldn't exist if he had been influenced by the games, the movies, and the music he pirated. He argued that music is an art in general and are accessible for most of the third world. It seems most of you have bought into the current model of how magic is purchased and consumed. Many of you believe that $20 for a 15-minute download of one concept is totally worth it. You think this because you're hoping that someday you'll come up with a $20 idea that will make you millions so you keep the cycle going. But consider this. What if you gave your idea away for free? By now, most of you have probably rolled your eyes at least a couple of times while reading this. Save all your how would any of your creators make a living, or you're taking food out of the creators' families' mouths. It's the same argument magicians used when selling albums morphed into streaming rights. But some musicians adapted. Radiohead released an album saying, "Pay what you can afford," and they've made millions. In my opinion, some of you have a sycophantic relationship with these creators. It's literally a please take my money situation every time they release a trick. Some of you even have to lie to your spouses about how much things cost because you're embarrassed about the amount of money you're spending. Maybe it's time that stopped. I challenge any creators reading this to release a great effect and say, download it for free and pay me what you think it's worth. I don't think anyone will take me up on this challenge. If anyone is still reading this, I'm quite surprised. I'm sure many of you are furiously typing about how stupid this is and how selling overpriced magic is somehow a good thing. It's fine. Most of you don't like me for my opinions anyway when it comes to the world of magic, and I've grown quite accustomed to it. I can't wait for all the laughter and anger emojis, but some of you will understand what I'm saying. Right now, magic is only accessible to the middle and the upper class, which means that it's primarily older white men. We claim we want diversity, but I think many of you don't. I think many of you like the magic community the way it is and believe that if people can't afford to be part of it, they shouldn't. But the only way to achieve full true diversity in the magic community is to make it accessible to everybody. Okay, so I have my thoughts. Do you want to go first? Because my thoughts might.
100%.
Yeah, go
Yeah.
on.
Like, well, first thing, there was a phrase or a line that he said towards like the middle of that, which was about people want others to pay for $20 for magic downloads in the hope that they can one day release their own $20 downloads. I actually think that statement, even though it's an opinion, there's no such thing as an incorrect or correct opinion, that it's pretty false, because the majority of creators that release is minimal compared to the amount of magicians there are in the world. You know, there's probably like a subsection of I'd say a maximum of 2,000 creators. You could probably verify this by going on to like Penguin Magic and looking at how many individual artists there are, right? Versus how many magicians there are in the world, which is, you know, over a million, I'd say. So, you know, that's a percentage that's fractional. So saying that people only want to pay for downloads because they want others to pay for theirs, it's not really the case at all. A lot of the people that I know that buy downloads, more often than not, the people that don't pirate them are people that are workers, and they obviously they normally like earn more money than the download's worth, and they get their uses from it. So they're happy to pay the creator back because it's like a it's a sign of respect most of the time, right? But the other thing is, when he says he's challenging people to come up with a great idea and release it for free, I do. But I'm not saying my ideas are great, but I do. Like, if he's talking like to someone like me, right, just an average creator that puts stuff out, all my products these days, so all my products people have to pay for, I give the explanations away for free.
Yeah, you do.
Give the explanations away free. I can't give you the physical product for free because I'm not a millionaire. I can't just give away shit like that for free. And all my other ideas that are not products, they go on my YouTube channel for free.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them are used by professional magicians in gigs or on social media or on TV in their working repertoires. So the challenge has been accepted, and I won the challenge on that front.
Exactly. No, I agree.
I do. I'm not fully disagreeing with him. I do think there is a precedent of terrible ideas that have been released as downloads, but nobody is being forced to buy them.
No. What I take
Nobody is being
exception
forced to
to the
buy them.
most is him saying that it's only accessible to rich white men, and that, like, if you haven't got any money, you're basically ostracized from this community. I have never heard a bigger pile of fucking drivel in my entire
That's just virtue signaling.
life. That's just fucking ridiculous. Like, the amount of content on YouTube for free, not just you, but I mean, look, you want to learn how to be a better magician. I'm not going to blow my own trumpet, but I put 20 odd videos up a week on magic that people can watch for free, including a bunch of tutorials and a bunch of concepts and a bunch of ideas. And here's how to perform, and here's how to get more gigs, and here's how to do this, and here's how to do that. There's your theory sorted. There's 1,000 channels out there that are teaching you concepts for free, teaching you new creations for free. Caden
Dude.
is amazing. You know, Caven Booth, he's got some fucking amazing stuff in his YouTube channel. So have you. So has Javier. A million other people. Card Mechanic. The list goes on and on and on. Look at Michael O'Brien and all of the stuff he puts on about theory. The guy, and it's all free. You could
Well,
go.
dude, look, you look at the classic text of magic that everybody recommends to say, like, oh, I'm a beginner in magic. What should I do? Where should I go? And they go, first of all, you need to read books. You need to practice from the books. The main books in magic that get recommended are public domain and are free.
Yep,
Are
they are.
free. Are 100% free. And then you get people, like, you look at like the Danny D'Ortis of the world, the masters of magic that dedicate, I mean, we all dedicate, or most of us dedicate our lives to magic, but some people just, well, they dedicate as much time as we do, but they're much better than us. Or they have just different wired brains. Would you expect someone like Danny D'Ortis to spend a lifetime of work on a concept and come up with, you know, hours of content with it and give it away for free? And he thinks that's okay, or it should be applauded. Not so much applauded, but like, in what other way is some people supposed to put food on the table? And I know Radiohead released an album for free. I think it was called In Rainbows. But they were already millionaires. They were already massively successful.
Yeah. Look at every trick that I've released in the last year. I've exposed it within a week on YouTube and told everyone how it works. I've just gone on Penguin Magic, right? And if you go on Penguin Magic, you can do this. Go on to Penguin Magic and go on to P3. Down the side, you can click on P3. These are all the tricks that Penguin bring out themselves. So you've got the Ishihara test, all the different stuff that they bring out for free. Look at the latest one. 5 Awesome Tricks with a Tapered Deck by Eric Tate. Price, free, zero. Put it in your cart. You get it immediately. Go down about 7 or 8. Look at the next one. My Favorite Coin Slights by Nick LaCapo. 1 hour lecture on my favorite coin sets. Price, free. Put it in your cart and learn it immediately. Keep going down. What we got this? Oh, look at this next one. What do we have here? We have Double Backer Secrets by Eric Tate. One of the best carditions in the world. Price, free. Learn the best tricks with the double backer. Keep going down. Best Card Slights for Beginners with Eric Tate. Price, free. Like, you're talking shit, mate. Next one, The Slop Shuffle by Nick LaCapo. Price, free. You're talking, you could go on Penguin, put about 20 or 30 tricks into your fucking cart, and it would not cost you a penny. Just earlier this year, Alakazam had me do an academy, Card Magic Academy, for 4 hours and gave it away for everyone for free. It's total bullshit that you're turning around and saying the only way you can become a magician, the only way you can get somewhere in magic is by having lots of money and it's only accessible for people that with money. I've never heard of a more roundabout way of saying, I just want to go and buy pirated tricks instead because they aren't worth the money.
It is.
Fuck off, you stupid fucking dickhead. That is just the most ridiculous, bizarre statement. Look, creators spend a lot of money. Look at the fucking Evoke. I had to pay £3,000 of my own money to have that deck designed. You know, I paid a fortune out for that deck. It costs a lot of money to get to the point where the physical product is being sent to you. That's why creators charge. We have to recoup our costs in some way or another. But here's the thing. If you don't want to buy a trick off a creator, don't. There's a million options where you can buy one for free or for pence or for pennies or just go on YouTube. Total bullshit.
Thing is, right, this day and age, and I'm 100% certain. I actually don't think I'm certain on this. But in theory, somebody starting day one Magic today could become an incredible FISM winning, potentially, champion professional magician using and learning only from free resources that are ethically sourced.
Yep.
So they can go off and learn. I'll have to pull up the list, but if you go on the dailymagician.com, they have a list of all the 346 classic magic books that are public domain. So you can go and learn all those tricks that are public domain from the right sources, completely ethically free. You can go on shops like Penguin Magic and learn brand new downloads for free. You can learn tricks from creators like me and you that release products. Obviously, we can't physically give you the physical thing. Like, that's mental to believe that. But you can learn all about our products before we put them out. If you want to learn brand new creations that have never been seen before, you can go onto channels like mine and people like Kevin Booth, who teaches his own magic, or Javier Fuenmayor. You, I think, teach some unique things on YouTube. Completely ethically, without having to pirate. All this is done above board. And then there are some tricks which people believe are, they've put so much time, effort, and money in, and they want to, you know, oftentimes most creators will sell downloads of a trick they've put years of work into, and it's just a bit of beer money on the side.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, the reason I said earlier about I was sure, then I was like, I'm not too sure. I'm wholly confident that if somebody was to become a professional magician, learning from resources that are wholly ethical and 100% free, it would come to a stage they would find something they did want to learn that was behind a variation of a paywall, and they'd be happy to do so because it's giving back to the artist.
Yep.
And using things like Radiohead did a, you know, giveaway of free albums. Yeah, but they were already well established by that point and were already millionaires and were already making tons of money from their previous works. So
yep.
You can't really, like, I'm guaranteeing you, like, they, you know, once they hit the mainstream, their first album wasn't going to be free. Their shows weren't going to be free. You know, not until they could be in a financial position to do that.
Nope, not at all.
So,
not at all.
Yeah, it's I'm not sure. I think it would mainly like mental gymnastics to try and convince himself that it's okay to pirate material, and that, you know, potentially others should pirate material too. And I just think there's no point in pirating. There's so much good free resources out there.
Yeah.
There's so many good free resources out there. There's not really any need to pirate material. And if there's something you desperately want and you're really interested into the point where you think about pirate, just buy it.
Yeah.
Just buy it. You've probably, you know.
And the thing is, it's not like this is a new thing. Yeah, there's going to be tricks that come out that are absolutely shit. This is not a new thing. I remember when I first got into Magic, before you got into Magic, Lloyd, because I'm way older than you, I remember, like, fucking, what? There was no internet. I had to get my little catalogue that came through the post, and I'd be like, oh, this looks fucking great. Oh, my God, that looks like the best trick ever. I'd send my check off to go and buy it. It'd come back a few weeks later or a couple of weeks later, and it's a steaming pile of shit. Like, it's not like it's a new thing where crappy tricks have come out. That's just kind of, in my opinion, part of being a magician. You know, you have, you know, you buy good tricks, you buy bad tricks. Not everything can be brilliant. And also,
the magic industry is parallel to the music industry.
Yeah.
Think about how many different albums and songs are released every year that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. And the ones you like, that everyone likes, everyone listens to, because the cream rises to the top. Same and with magic.
One man's trash is another man's treasure as well. I've talked about this before, but I remember when I was doing the Wizard Product Review with David Penn, and we absolutely...
You can say Kevin Parker.
No. Of course, he really is terrible. But no,
he's not, because his passing through Coin and Glass is phenomenal. No,
like, passing through is great. Defend Cans. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Dude, you can say what you want about it, right? That visual is astonishing, yeah? On his trick cans, the visual on the trainer is it not astonishing?
Yes,
right. That visual was inspirational to me. I knew the method wasn't up to scratch in terms of practicality, but the visual alone was magic caviar in my eyes, because that led me to creations.
Okay, I
it's not about the method or the practicality. Sometimes it's just the fucking idea to do it in such a way is worth everything.
What I was actually going to say is there was this trick. And we should figure out where Kevin Parker is. I haven't seen him for years.
Last time I heard from him, he was posting about how he is now able to have foursomes.
I'm sorry, what?
He went on this tirade on Facebook. I think it was a messenger to me, and he was posting about it all over his wall. He was like really disillusioned with magic. And he's like, basically like, who fucking needs magic when I have foursomes these days? And he was posting about how he has foursomes now.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I'm not even fucking joking.
I wonder if he takes his flasher back with him that he wore when he made the cans appear. Maybe not. I don't know. But the trick I was going to talk about is this. There was this shitty little dove trick. It was one of the worst tricks I've ever seen. It was like a little, you made this dove appear, and it was this like little battery operated dove. Me and Dave Penn probably spent about half an hour taking the piss out of this trick. We ranted about it, said it was the worst trick we'd ever seen on the Wizard Product Review. And a few years later, somebody got through to the semi-finals of Britain's Got Talent using that exact same trick. One man's trash is another man's treasure. It's why, you know, I used to be very vocal years ago about Murphy's Magic. And I used to be very vocal about where's the quality control? Like, how can you have some of this shit in your warehouse? Like, how have you actually gone and said, yes, we'll buy that in? But I think the reason is, how are they supposed to know what people's needs are? I mean, there's going to be people out there. You're going to look at a trick and go, that's probably the worst trick I've ever seen in my entire life. Someone else will look at it and go, I need that exact same trick for my act. That is exactly what I need, and that will make my act perfect. Like Ryland's doing this thing at the moment with orange juice, and there's this trick, I don't know if you remember it, evaporate. It's like a Sunny D bottle, and it looks like the water, the orange juice is coming out.
On camera, kind of making a wank symbol.
I really am. I looked at the reviews for this. Everybody said this trick was shit. It's absolutely perfect for what Ryland's doing. It fits the act perfectly. And that's the point. You never know what is going to work and what's not. So, you know.
I honestly, right, magic is so... I've talked about this for so long till I'm blue in the face. Magic is entirely parallel to music and so many different friends. And like, I get it if something actually like physically crumbles in your hand. Like, it's bad, right? But like, in terms of reviews, I never watch magic reviews. Sometimes I'll watch them I'll watch a magic review if someone's going to perform the trick. Or I'll watch like either to the camera or if they're going to perform it to someone else. But it's just pointless. And like, there's a guy called Anton, I think he's Fantano, his name is. He does hip hop music reviews and music reviews in general. So an album right. will come out and he'll review it. And he'll tell people that it's like a 1 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 or, you know, whatever. And it's the most pointless fucking... He gets loads of hits, right? Don't get me wrong. And there's people that love it. But it's fucking pointless. Because I don't base my opinions off whether I like a song or an album or not because of someone else. Mm. And it's the same with magic. If a magic trick comes out, I look at the trick, I try and find a performance of it, or if anything, see a spectator's reaction to it. That's the number one thing. And that's it. If I like it, I like it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's bizarre. So yeah, this guy, he's trying to condone pirating magic because he's complaining that there's some releases out there that are bad. No one's forced him to buy them.
No one's forcing
him to pirate either. He's not being forced to pirate. And no one's forcing these people to lie to their wives about having to hide their magic purchases. No one's forcing them to do it. And a lot of it's tongue-in-cheek. And then I think if there's any rare cases of somebody who's in a financially bad place and they are hiding purchases from their partner and because, you know, it's going to negatively impact like their quality of life, I put money on it. I'm assuming that's the least of their worries.
Yep.
You know, a lot of it's tongue in cheek, like, oh, I'm not going to tell the wife about this one. But if they do have genuine issues with their spending habits, it goes a lot deeper than this guy trying to convince people that you should pirate other people's work if they want you to support them.
Yep. I agree.
So there you go. Excuse for it these days.
No, there's not. There's really not. But there you go. I think, there's been a ton more stuff that's gone on in the magic.
I'm sorry, just to say one more thing as well, right?
Yeah.
We ain't selling luxury cars. We're not fucking selling houses, swimming pools, and iPhones. These downloads that he's on about pirating, because you can't pirate like electronic products. And nor would I'm assuming the guy's rational enough to understand that you wouldn't be expected to be able to pirate electronic products and things, or, you know, physical props, which actually, because that is just flat out theft.
Yeah, it is.
Right. That's just flat out theft. If you thought you could just take that shit for yourself that someone's made. But it's not like he's on about this stuff. I know it's tough out there. Like I understand that not everybody can afford to put food on the table and things, right?
Yeah.
But that's why there's so many good free resources out there anyway. You don't have to buy the latest thing. But on the whole, I think most people in the magic industry, or in general, I think most people can afford some casual spending. They say you should split your income up. Was it 50, 30, 20? 50% on bills, 30% on day-to-day spending, and then 20% for little luxuries, whatever you want. That's like the general rule of thumb for most people. I'm guessing if the latest amazing Danny DeOrta's masterclass comes out for $30, 40, even $50. What's that, like £40?
Yeah.
But the average download is like $20, if that. I'm guessing most people can actually, it's not going to, you're not being forced to pirate this. And I'm guessing they can just do it if they want it, you know?
Exactly. And that's the thing. If you think it's too expensive, just don't buy it. It's as simple as that. Just don't buy it. Nobody's forcing you to buy anything. Creators can charge what they want. And if people want to buy it, then that's fair enough. People don't want to buy it, that's also fair enough. But, you know, creators can charge what they want. But anyway. Yes. Other than that, Lloyd, I don't think well, there's a ton of other stuff that we can talk about, but I think we're going back a bit. So that's a lot of the new stuff that people are chatting about. although One Ahead have just sent a fantastic message, a fantastic the One Ahead magazine, definitely subscribe. Yeah. I'm looking at my emails as I'm chatting to you. How to get your friends to want to see magic?
Get new friends if they don't want to see it. They're old friends.
Oh my god, that's very, very funny.
I get my friends to want to see magic, by the way, by not showing them magic.
Yeah, leave them wanting more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leave them wanting more.
Do we have to talk about new products?
Do you not want to?
I haven't got a fucking clue what's been released.
Well, me neither.
I haven't got a clue, man. I literally have no idea.
Let's just have a look and see if there's anything that has come out recently in the last week. We'll skip a load of the shit that's been out beforehand. nothing, basically. Nothing.
Probably a friend or something's released a trick and I should be talking about it, but I don't know.
Well, the new thing that that Murphys are pushing big style at the moment is the Supervision Cube by our friend Julio Monturo, which is, you know, the Vision Cube where you put it in a box and you can tell what it is?
Oh, yes. The guys in my Patreon sent that over to me. I couldn't watch it because I was watching The Mole on Netflix with Katie, so I didn't see the trailer. But
well, apparently it says you'll have full control over what you want to be shown in the box. No electronics involved, and only one cube as you use the entire routine, which is 100% examinable at the beginning and at the end without need for a switch. And the cube is fully customizable with white plastic stickers included, making this a great tool for any type of performer, from serious mentalists to street magicians.
Sick.
So there's that. I'll be honest. There were a few of these that came out recently. Like Penguin Magic bought out the one from Dan Harlan, and Brent Braun had one that came out a little while ago. I don't know if you remember. I think that they're fun and everything. That my problem with it is, it looks like a toy. It looks like the sort of thing that you would pick up if you're a beginner magician, and I don't want to put that. I don't want to put that across to the people that watch me perform. You know, it is what it is.
I tell you the thing that I've been having the most fun with lately.
Yeah.
And this is so unlike me to like this sort of thing. but after there are a few tricks, app-based tricks that come out, which I intrinsically want to hate them, but they're fucking undeniably good to perform. First one being card to phone, because to me, the method is obvious. And I've spoken about this app loads of times, card to phone. It's one of the tricks that I'll do in a pinch, and it pisses me off that it gets better reactions than so much more the other stuff that I do. You know, even though to me, it's like, it's not magic, but to the there's still a guy that I know in the local pub that believes I can just print £20 notes off my phone.
Please don't mind anybody that's listening to Lloyd right now. He lives in Wales. So you have to consider that when you listen to anything like
that. We don't have a king or a queen on ours. We have a sheep's head. And there's another trick, which I don't perform, but it's people absolutely go apeshit for it. Lay people especially. But it's R-Digit. That fucking calculator trick where the numbers move around and animate on screen. To me, that is the opposite of what magic is. Right? It literally cannot be magic. It's just your fucking phone screen animating. But the reactions are absolutely undeniably good.
Well,
it keeps getting featured on the front page of Reddit every few weeks.
Well, it's worth talking about that, actually, rather than talking about new products this week, because we're a little bit behind the times. It's worth talking about the fact that a lot of people that do calculator-style magic are Digit. A lot of people that have iThump or Toxic Plus or whatever it is are worried as well. And the reason is the new iOS upgrade is going to completely change the way that the calculator looks.
Yeah, well, fuck that for a minute, because let me show you the thing that I've got my hands on. and this is getting wild reactions. They shouldn't be getting this good a reaction.
What's it called?
It's something by Jake Keane.
Sick.
It's fucking amazing. Let me show it to you, right? So this is just one of this is going to be a basic use, and you're not going to be able to see it at home, but I'm going to try and do this. So call out stop on this on the cards.
Lloyd's got a deck of cards. Stop.
Okay. Here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to look away, and I want you to memorize this card. Okay.
Okay. Showing me a card. I've memorized
it. Don't tell me what it is. Got it?
Yep.
Good.
That's very
I'm
fair.
Gonna shuffle it into the deck.
Okay. It looks like it's a real shuffle. That looks very fair.
So I'm gonna start the timer on my phone. And you're going to hold on to it, or you're going to start the timer. I'm going to ask you serious questions, and you're going to try and make me think of what your card is, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to press start. Craig, tell me, if you were to go outside, would you wear a t-shirt or a jumper?
T-shirt.
Your next holiday, would it be abroad or would it be in this country?
It's going to be in this country.
For food tonight, are you going to have something homemade or takeaway?
Homemade.
Say hearts, clubs, diamonds, spades.
Hearts, clubs, diamonds, spades.
Say ace, two, three, four, five, all the way up to king.
Ace, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, jack, queen, king.
Okay, stop. Stop the timer. 30 seconds. For 30 seconds of asking you questions, I think that showed me a tell you were thinking of the seven of hearts. No?
No. Ah. Holy fuck! Holy fuck!
Let me show this again, right? So I'll do it like this. Let's put in let me do this again.
Holy watch. Fuck, that's great.
Wait, it gets better. So look, when you press stop, yeah, on the timer.
Yeah.
And then you can do anything you want. Be like, so you get the thing wrong, for example, and now I'm like, okay, stop. And I watch, if I just focus on my energy there, it should watch this. 3, 2. And then you can see.
That's incredible.
But it doesn't have to be that. And look how simple this is, right? So anything. So any six, well, it doesn't even have to be like a six-letter word, but you can take away vowels and stuff. But any, so say the word's going to be, give me a word.
Ryland.
Ryland. Is that six letters?
Yep.
Or is it seven?
It's six.
Six letters, okay? So that's it. That's a set. Done. So now whenever they press stop, there's a timer for 10 seconds. It waits. So what you press stop, there's a 10-second pause. At this point, you can do anything you want. They're holding the phone, and then it starts to do this weird animation glitch, and the stopwatch numbers become the word. Like, and it's written with like letters and numbers made up, you know?
That is incredible.
Super, super, super simple. Setup is super simple, like incredibly simple. And it pisses. It shouldn't get the reactions it does, because to me, it's as obvious as card to phone. It's as obvious as our Digit, but it's fucking incredible. Like,
that's insane.
The phone glitches in their hand, and the stopwatch numbers reveals their thought, whether it's a playing card or word or whatever it is you want it to reveal. Anything.
That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So, like,
I know it's insane. So good.
People that didn't see that, he had me pick a card, and the timer stopped, and then you just see the phone glitch, like really glitch all over the place and flash and everything, and then the timer readout turns into whatever it is that you're forcing. That's brilliant, man. That's great.
The reason I love it is that it's so simple. Like, I was talking the other day, and the apps that I use the most are the ones that are the most direct and straightforward. Things like Timeline by Patrick Kuhn, DFB, Cognito, the things that you can just do at a moment's notice. It used to be Cypher I used to use all the time. And there's some amazing apps out there that are super, super well made, and there's loads and loads of features. But when it actually comes down to it, they're not the apps that I use when I perform. And it's the apps that are just like, I can just pick up at a moment's notice and do a trick. And this is one of those things. And there's no, like, you just put the word in, press enter, that's it. There's no extra settings, fuck all. It's basic and it looks sick. And it pisses me off because it's not the magic I like.
That's brilliant.
You know, but it's the magic that gets the good reactions.
Where can you get that?
I think, and I might be wrong, I think it's on his Patreon. So to members, it's for free to all members of his
I'm a
Patreon.
fucking member of his Patreon.
Okay, so it's free on there. There's five other apps, I think, as well available. But I've said to him, I want to do. I haven't shown this to Kaylee, so I want to do a Patreon, not a Patreon. I want to do a Fooler episode, and I've asked him would he like at some point make it available for like £5 or like $5.
He needs to. He needs to.
Yeah, it's simple, it's basic, and just but I said just put a like a small price on it just so that you're getting compensated for something, but literally not even a tenner. But yeah, it's available on his Patreon now. So if you go and sign up to, I think it's The Real Underground, patreon.com/TheRealUnderground, or go to jakekeen.com and then follow it there. You get that, and you can get that and six, I think it's five other apps or something. There's a bunch of them. But that's the thing I've been loving the most at the minute. It's just super simple. It shouldn't get good reactions, or in my head, at least as a fucking connoisseur, I think in my arsehole way of magic, it shouldn't. But again, card to phone, timeline, R digit. The apps to me that just are obviously what the method should be, they just get killer reactions. And it's really practical because you just go, boom, it's done.
That is just amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I'm gonna, as soon as I finish this podcast, I'm getting on to Jake to tell him how fucking amazing that is. But that is really good.
Isn't it good? Isn't it really good? It's just simple. That's what it's supposed to. Gets good reactions. I don't know what else you fucking want in a trick.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I've been like vibing on lately.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've covered a lot. We've come back. We've covered a lot. We've proved to people that we're not dead, and the Magic Podcast is going to continue. I know that you've talking about Jake. The Black Arc Podcast has been missing a couple of for the last few weeks as well. Is the Black Arc Podcast back? Have you got a new episode of that out?
Yes, we shot an episode yesterday. So I think it went up
Brilliant.
last night.
Oh, brilliant! So fans of the
Yeah,
Black
I
Arc.
kind of got through the backlog of stuff I had to do once I got back from Holly Bombs. I said Holly Bombs as well. Don't
Quick question. Very quick question. Going to try and get your insider knowledge here before we finish. Is there anything coming out that you are aware of soon that we should be kind of keeping our ear to the ground about? I heard that at some point in the not too distant future, there might be something kick ass coming from our friend Rich Relish.
Yes, that's coming out.
Coming soon because people are gonna fucking lose their shit over this.
Yeah, it's
This
so
is
good.
really
So, so
good.
good. There's that coming out. A couple of projects with your name on it. A couple of projects with yours and my name on it. A couple of projects with yours, my name, and Jake's name on it. There's loads coming out, man. Ah, yeah, this is why I've been busy.
You got the coolest job in the world, Lloyd. You really do. You get to play with magic tricks for a living.
So do you.
Yeah, I'm not saying I haven't got a cool job as well. We both got a cool job. Both got a cool job. Lloyd, thank you for actually being present during the whole of the podcast. You didn't switch off once. You got excited. You were motivated. I think we need to have 3 months off between episodes every time because then you're. At no point have we talked about snooker. Have we talked about cricket? Have we talked about any of that bullshit? We've just been.
What a productive day. I've been up. I got up at 6:30, went for a 10K run, then I took my kid to nursery, went and voted, got on a
Nice.
fucking podcast with you. Fucking shoot me.
Oh, and it's 4th of July. We should say happy 4th of July to all of our American cousins.
Nah.
No, fuck off.
No, I'm kidding. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, America.
Yeah. We didn't want, we didn't fucking want you anyway. Friends. We didn't fucking want you anyway. Fuck off.
You'll come crawling back. Just you wait. Although it is like legal for Trump to shoot people now, so no one's going to be allowed to leave the country, let alone fucking get in.
My favorite quote, we don't talk about politics on the Magic Podcast, but I have to say my favorite quote that I've seen doing the rounds on Facebook recently is to do with the election that they've got going on over there in the moment and the debates. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, it's being shared everywhere. Somebody said, just because Alfred is too old to clean the Batcave anymore doesn't mean that you get the Joker to do it instead.
I have a theory that they made abortions illegal, but then they give Trump immunity to do whatever he wants. So I think he's actually just a man of the people, and anyone that, you know, that wants an abortion, they just go straight to him and he's there waiting, coat hanger in hand. Don't worry, ladies, you're safe with me. And he gets two birds with one stone, you know?
Nice.
I actually think he's a man of the people. You know?
Man of the people. Donald Trump, man of the people. Buckingham.
I'm kidding. I know nothing about American politics, so please don't shoot me. I don't need it either way.
And we've got nothing that we can say because we're fucked over here. So, like, however bad you think you've got it, we've got it worse. So, yeah.
The last time I really got involved with politics was fucking sitting back and watching from the front lines of the magic circle self-imploded. That was the closest I've ever got to politics.
The magic circle.
Are they still doing that shit? Are they still at each other's throats?
No, the magic circle is kind of in a golden age right now because of Marvin Berglas. He's the he's leading from the front, and everybody loves the circle at the moment.
Because I did see a post on there which was like someone asking, "Can all members who voted against something let us know what your names are?" It was like, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah, when you get that many egos in one place, occasionally it'll blow up, but hopefully no time soon. Oh, by the way, there is one last thing to mention. The Blackpool Magic Convention have announced that the One is back on this year, or next year.
No.
Having the big competition, the One. And having spoken to my sources at Blackpool, and as you know, I have sources, they've told me that the list of names that have applied to be there this year is phenomenally strong.
I mean, know any names?
No, no.
Well, then I'm phenomenally uninterested.
Fair enough. Well, I
want to know. Let me know.
I don't have that information, unfortunately. I wish I did, but apparently there's going to be some huge names in this competition.
Wow. Who's lecturing this year?
They've not really announced any names yet. They haven't announced any big names or anything like that. They made a big announcement the other day. They made a big announcement, but it was more about the... here we go. It was more about the gala show. Rick Thomas. You know Rick Thomas?
No.
Multi-award-winning Master of Illusions. He's bringing his full show, Mansion of Dreams, to Blackpool Magic Convention, which is like one of the biggest shows in America at the moment.
See, I'm really not up with like the illusion stage magic circuit. That's a sorry, not sorry, for probably another time.
Are you going to diss illusions?
I'm not going to diss them at all. I just don't categorize. I categorize it as not as magic.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
In my asshole opinion. Well, right. Magic.
This is, by the way, an argument that me and Nemid Phoenix have had for years. Nemid. Hate.
I'm not saying it's not good. I fucking love watching a good illusion show. Love it. You will in Blackpool, I will always watch the gala shows. I will always go and watch the stage shows. In Fissom, same thing. Love it. But I love it in the same way as I love juggling and other stage entertainment. I don't see it as magic. I know it's magic themed, But intrinsically, from an audience's point of view, and I know there'll be audiences that say, wow, but like at the heart of it, because the sheer nature that it's rehearsed and it can only be done with big props and there's dancing and things tells them that this is not spontaneous, organic pieces of real magic.
Okay.
That's it. And that's it.
I think it's magic. I do. I actually think that if you learn how to do illusions, it makes you a better performer in general.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, because illusions are obviously done on stage. When you learn how to be an illusionist, you're learning how to stand on stage, you're learning how to carry yourself on stage, you're learning how to project to an audience. The amount of close-up magicians that I see and they kind of do this sort of thing, hey, pick a card, and they've got the charisma of a wet blanket. You can always tell somebody who's been on stage and learned to carry themselves on stage when they're performing close up. It comes across as they become more of a performer. You know, I think that
fully agree. There's a great tip by Roland Lee, which he taught me. I went to one of his lectures. He's a card manipulator, stage manipulator. And he said that, like, when he does card manipulation, he always, when he took his hand to the side, he always looks about 4 feet in front of his hand. Because what you don't, when people do manipulation, they look at their hand, and actually that means the back, almost like the audience are almost looking at the back of their head. So you have to actually not really look at the card. You look 4 feet in front of you, because then they get that image of your face, which is really important to carry. Like, stuff like that you'd never learn, or you wouldn't really learn unless you do it, you know, and you find an interest. All I'm saying is, I fucking love the thinking, the craftsmanship. I'm just saying I personally don't see it as magic.
Okay.
It's just another form of entertainment, and it's phenomenal. It's just, to me, it's like gambling routines. The audience knows it's not magic. And it's the same with like card manipulation on stage. I mean, most of the time these card manipulators are introduced as card manipulators. They tell the audience it's not magic. So the audience don't think that was magic. They go, that was fucking incredible skill, which is incredible on its own. And it's the same way I see stage stuff.
But a girl gets in the box, for example, and the girl...
Do it without the box.
Huh?
Do it without the box.
Well, that's like saying make a coin disappear, but do it without putting it in your hand.
Okay.
What we're arguing here is the evolution of technique, not whether the technique or not is magic. Saying, hey, but you know, and where do you...
Well, it's more about the scripted like,
is die
routine box, to
is,
it.
But there's a lot of stage stuff that is, not just illusions. Like, look at kids' entertainment. Look at kids' magic. Die box, for example. You know, the die goes in the box, it vanishes, it appears in the hat. Is that magic?
No.
Yes, it is.
No, but it's not.
What is it then?
I mean, if someone was to sit down with a level-headed person, right? So they're not too far up either end of the bell curve, and said, did you just see magic? They'd say, well, it had something to do with the box.
But that's the same with any type of magic. Like,
I don't think so.
A pack of cards, you know, the card went into the box. Well, it's got to have something. It's a trick deck or it's a trick box. People are always trying to come up with method.
There are certain tricks where there is no explanation and they are just reaching, or they'll say there's no fucking way that was done because it was done in my hands, or he got into my brain. I never said a fucking word. You know, but if you were to say to someone, when that girl went in that box and he pulled her vagina out to the side by 3 feet and her legs were underneath her, do you think that was real magic? A level-headed person would go, it's really clever. And that's good. That's fine, because it's entertainment. I'm not saying it's not amazing, but I just don't see it as magic. Especially when there's choreographed dance, because that instantly tells people that it's been rehearsed and it's not spontaneous. Not that all magic is spontaneous, but there's got to be this organic raw, I feel like in what my thought thinking is on magic, at least.
Okay. So if it's too rehearsed, it's not real magic.
In my viewpoint. Whenever I try and perform magic, and I perform, I try and always give the feeling that I'm that it's the first time it's sort of happening in roundabout ways.
Okay.
That's why a lot of my magic, I talk about this a lot. You know, when I say to you, a creativity technique that I've done for years and years, decades now, is I'll just say to people, give me two or three different objects and tell me what to do with them. And I'll create a trick on the spot. You yeah. see people in the London Magic Convention, was it Russ Jackson or some, I think it was Russ. I met him there. I speak to him on Instagram now. He's a good friend. Said, can I explain that? I just, on the spot, he just gave me a few objects and I just did magic. And that's what I feel like is the best type of thing.
Okay.
Well, that's what I feel like is magic in my eyes.
So somebody like David Copperfield, for example, a lot of the stuff he does on stage, that wouldn't be magic to you.
I don't put it in the same category of what I perceive magic to be. I'm not saying it's not absolutely fucking incredible and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody who goes to watch that show knows he goes in and does that stuff 600 shows a year or whatever it is.
Yeah.
When you go in and you see him fly, you know another crowd's going to come in and see him fly in 2 hours' time.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Every day of the year, or every other day of the year, whatever it is. But when I perform magic, and I'm probably going to find people can pull up clips of me contradicting myself 1,000 times a year, but I try to make it feel like that's the one and only time they're seeing it. Or it feels like it's just, organic on the spot. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know this was going to happen. You know, there couldn't be a setup. There couldn't be a special prop. It's going to happen in their hands. You know, it's that to me is what where magic lies.
Okay. That's really interesting. That's a really, I've never heard anyone say that before. I disagree, honestly. I think that magic is, you know, the definition of magic is something happens in front of you that's impossible. Yeah, people try to come up with a method for it. People try to come up with a method for anything. I mean, that's the whole concept of Penn and Teller fool us. But, you know, and Penn and Teller, by the way, have been fooled on that show over the last 10 years many times with illusions.
Just because someone's fooled, though, doesn't mean they believe it's magic.
No.
For example, when the girl goes in the box and disappears, I'm depending on, you know, somebody could sit there and go, I have no idea how that's done. And you go, well, it was real magic. They go, oh, no, it was the fucking box. I just don't know where she's hiding in the box. You know, there's a difference between being fooled. I remember the first time I seen Danny DeOrtis live, like 2007 or well, what was it like? He was at the Sesh Convention back in Gloucester. And there was a special performance. He did like the best card at any number I'd ever seen, where it was the first time any of us had seen DeOrtis, or most, the majority of us. So no one knew what was coming. It's like the first time the judges seen Leonard Green type of stuff, right? And someone lost a card in the deck. He says, tell me a number, deal down. They got to the number. And then he was like, you want to change your mind? And they were like, yep. He's like, okay. Do you want to deal some more? They're like, yep. And he's like, how many more? They just dealt fucking loads more. I was like, okay. And it was exactly that card. Like, it was unfucking real. Unfucking real. And I know as a magician, it wasn't a trick deck. Like, to me, I remember walking out there being like, that was real magic. That was real fucking magic, because he didn't know that guy was going to change his mind. He didn't know, you know? Whereas, and it was a borrowed deck anyway. Like,
yeah,
that type of stuff is where magic lies for me. The unknowns, the unpredictables, the situations that are unscripted, or at least feel unscripted. But when you see people coming on with three dancing girls doing the same routine, like, in my eyes, at least, instantly, okay, this is not going to be real magic.
Hmm.
But I think I'm one of the very few.
I think I'm one of the very few
people that do my style of magic that I adore stage magic, and you'll always catch me watching the stage magic shows.
What about Dynamo? Stephen, whatever we're calling him now. I'll never forget when he did the lean outside to people, which is, let's be honest, a stage illusion.
Yeah.
It's a method. It's done on stage by illusionists all over the world. People were like, everybody was like, oh my God, that was the thing everyone was talking about from that particular episode. You know, it's like watching the Matrix come to life, blah, 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 blah. It's an illusion at the end of the day. Yeah. And he then went and did it on his stage show. If you remember, he went and did it every single night on his stage show. Are people like going and seeing Dynamo and going, well, you know what? He's going to do it again tomorrow night and in the show tomorrow night. It's like, because people were freaked out about that, man, at the time. The general public generally were just like, that's fucking real magic. I have no idea how he did that.
Possibly because he didn't do it on stage. He did it around real people and it seemed spontaneous. There was no dancing girls. He was just in the middle of a crowd and just did it. It's probably why I got a better reaction than if you do it on stage. Or at least it, maybe not better. I think better reaction is the wrong word. I think it was probably why it seemed more impossible, more like magic. Point in case.
Okay.
Because he just walked down the, apparently he just walked, well, in this case it was a red carpet, but you know, in essence, he walked down the street and just fucking did it there and then.
Yeah.
That was the magic part of it. That was the difference between a stage illusion and what people perceive to be real magic. But you've heard it yourself. You know for a fact, and I've heard you have audience say this to you, where they've said to you, oh, I've seen magic on TV. I've watched a magic show. But what you just did right here, that was actually real, wasn't it? Have you not heard people actually question, like they go, what you just did was actually real, wasn't it? Like I know I've heard you get that comment. I get that comment frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I've seen Dynamo. People always say, you're better than so-and-so. It's not that you're better. It's that you're there most of the time, right? Just don't let egos get in the way. But the amount of people that go, hang on, I've seen them on TV and they do special effects and they do this and that. But what you just fucking did, there's no way, there's no explanation.
Yeah.
And that's the difference for me. I'm not saying stage magic is bad. I love it. I just see it as a subcategory of magic or a non-category, like same as gambling demonstrations are and not so much juggling, but yeah, it's just not magic. It's performance art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. It's very interesting.
Do you not see it in the same vein?
I do. I understand where you're coming from. I need to come up with an argument to prove that you're wrong, though, because I can't think of one right now. I understand where you're coming from, and I actually, in some ways, agree. I disagree, but...
Well, we're both right and both wrong. It's just an opinion. All I'm saying is that, like, just when people put bums on seats and see somebody do magic with people in boxes to a rehearsed routine with dancing people around them, if I was to put a wager on the average Joe sitting in that crowd, they don't believe it. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't see it as for me, I want magic to feel real.
Yeah.
And I know Penn and Teller are against people allowing people to believe what you're doing is real, but I don't know. There's certain tricks that have that blur those lines. Like, for example, a card at number, any card at any number is a basic example. That's something that's improbable, not impossible.
Yeah.
And those type of effects are beautiful because you can blur those lines of what's real and what's not. You know, for real, like actually, you know, those lines. And that's what I'm saying is that stage magic isn't, so that's what I perceive to be magic is that type of stuff. And then, so I say, that's when I say stage magic is not magic, that's why in my beliefs, I'm right.
Yeah.
Because they don't believe it. Whereas some tricks, they absolutely do. Some forms of magic.
Yeah.
The nation believes Darren Brown does what Darren Brown does is real. And most magicians fucking do as well.
But back in the 90s, 80s, everyone believed that Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
No, they didn't.
didn't they?
No, look at the newspaper reports.
I can't remember. I'm not going to...
The whole thing with... Obviously, there's a bell curve, but the whole thing with Kopfer was, how did he do it? How was it done? Because he didn't actually make it disappear.
Yep.
Because the discussion wouldn't be, well, yeah, he just vanished it, but it was just, how did he do it? Or where did it go? Because he obviously didn't make it disappear. So when people talk about Dynamo, if it ever comes up that I do magic and things, people say, well, how did Dynamo walk on the Thames? That's the big one. How did he walk on the Thames? I say, well, I always say, oh, because he actually did. He just walked on water. And they go, no, he fucking didn't. It must have been some glass or something. No one's ever gone, did he? I go, yeah. Did he really? I say, yeah. No one's ever had that discussion. No one's that conversation's never gone that way, even though I tried to steer it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I've definitely heard people say to you, to people like Peter Turner, other magicians around the world, when they've shown them good close-up magic, I've definitely heard people say, that was incredible. That was real. There's no other explanation. That was amazing. That was magic. That was real magic. The first time ever, Craig seems like he's zoned out and is looking at...
No, not zoned out. Yeah. I'm really... Yeah. I want to argue with you, but I'm finding it difficult to actually put an argument together that would hold water, which I'm not very good at because I'm normally quite good at arguing.
Well, what would you be arguing against? That stage magic isn't perceived as, or it isn't in the magic category from what I perceive magic to be.
Yeah.
So the counter argument could be, yes, it is, because some audiences believe it's real. But then I think if you question those audiences and you said, really? They'd say, no, it's a box. Or if he did it without the box, it'd be real. Maybe. Maybe I'm just speaking for other people.
No, I'm finding it very fascinating. I really am.
So, with that being said, I think stage magic is not in the it is not doesn't actually fall under the umbrella of magic. I think it goes more into the performance art side of things.
Can I reserve
with
the
a
right
crossover to... with a crossover and a mutual interest? But if there's a category of magic, which is like mentalism and close-up and other things, then, and that's in the center of this between two lines, then stage magic is more in the category of gambling demonstrations, juggling, hypnotism, possibly. And then they have a slight overlap into that main column, but not a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe.
I don't know. I understand where you're coming from. Right. Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. But I reserve to argue. I want to agree with you because I perform mainly on stage. And what you're basically just telling me is every time I perform on stage, I'm not really doing magic.
I think it's not the close up type stuff. I mean more like the big box illusions.
Yeah, but you know I do an illusion show.
I know you do that, but I think if you're on stage, I think if you're in Smoke and Mirrors Bar in Bristol and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's performance art. It's entertainment. I just don't see it as magic. I don't think that's offensive either. I don't think that's a
negative I know you're not trying to be offensive at all in any way, shape, or form. I get that. Yeah.
It's kind of like when you hear a song, and in the middle of the song, there's like a featuring a rapper. It's not a, the song wouldn't be classed as a rap song. It's probably a pop song. It just has a bit of rap in it. And I see it's like, I see like stage magic with that is like fun, entertainment, there's dancing, music, lights, and everything. And there's some bits which are designed to fool you. But no one's walking away. Or well, the average person, when they get home and have an honest conversation about it, no one's walking away thinking that that it was magic. Whereas a lot of the other stuff that I see you perform not on stage,
Yep.
they absolutely fucking do.
Yep. So help me out with people listening to this. Help me argue with Lloyd. He's not right. He's completely wrong, but I can't figure out.
I am wrong. I am wrong. I know I'm wrong. I hope I haven't upset anyone. I don't think I've upset anyone. I think most
No,
people can see
I
where I'm coming
perform on
from.
stage mainly, and I'm not upset. So
I think it's
no.
just the moment that anything seems way too over rehearsed in practice. You lose that spontaneity, which gives magic that, which is one of the main ingredients in creating that experience of magic.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, here we go.
It'll be about another 6 months now before we have another
Yeah,
We have to go now, though. You know why? We obviously filmed the Magic Podcast on Zoom, and I've just had a message from Phil Smith, who would like to come on Zoom with us right now and show us the back design for the thing that we've been waiting for.
let's do it.
So we need to end this podcast so we can go and jump Phil on. But thank you
We'll
once again
jump on
for joining us
Phil.
on the Magic Podcast. We'll be back again. I don't know when we're going to be back. Look, I
Oh, we'll be
don't.
back next week.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to be back next week. That's exciting. We're going to be back next week with another podcast. If we're not, we will be back at some point. But hopefully we'll be back next week. So thanks once again for joining us. Lloyd, it's been a while.
Have a
Outro
shit week, you fucking clowns. No offense to clowns.
On behalf of Lloyd Barnes, fuck off.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.